For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That's right. We're here at Fanatics Fest till around 6 o'clock. There'll be a Yankee pregame show tonight where the New York Yankees will take on the Detroit Tigers. We got a little bit of Yankee news. Let me start off with this piece of Yankee news that I just had texted to me. I'm very excited. On Tuesday, I think it's this upcoming Tuesday, we are giving away, or at least the Yankees are giving away, a John Sterling, Susan Waldman t-shirt at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
That is a giveaway. A lot of you guys may have already known about that. Well, I'm happy to announce that during that game, in the, let me see the innings, hold on a second, over the course of two innings, the fourth and fifth inning, John Sterling will rejoin the radio booth for a little bit of a return. So John is back in the fourth and fifth inning Tuesday night on John and Susan t-shirt night.
That's exciting.
That is very exciting.
That'd be a little nostalgia.
I got to get that t-shirt.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah, go ahead.
You won't cut a six-year-old in line for the WWE, but you'll take a t-shirt from one of the 18,000 who might be getting it, or however many they're giving out?
Well, when you frame it that way, I'm a bad guy.
You are.
But I think the reality is they get a certain allotment that they hand out to, like, media or the Yes Network or the radio partner of the New York Yankees. So, no, I don't feel bad taking a John
Cena. It's still some kid that's not going to get
exactly.
it.
Oh, on that, I forgot to say it all week. Kerry and Justin, who we know are great listeners that follow, they did the Philly-Boston-Yankee trip. Remember they called
yes,
in?
Yes, yes.
They have sent me, I got an Eli Manning bobblehead.
They got you from the Yankees.
They each got the Eli Manning. They went as fans.
Oh, that is fantastic.
And they said, who's the biggest Yankee fan that would appreciate Giant fan combo?
Wow.
And I want to thank them dearly. I have in my possession the Eli Manning bobblehead. They're good people.
Kerry's the best.
Good people.
Now, I don't mean to, like, cut your knees off or anything like that, but let's think about our wonderful radio station. We have a great radio station. Such an amazing amount of talent that's so diverse, right?
Yeah.
Fans, different teams they root for, all that. How many Yankee Giant fans work at WFAN on air?
Mick Monagle.
He doesn't count.
Why?
Not really a Giant fan. He's more of a Yankee fan.
So just me.
So just you.
Yeah.
Tiki, are we counting you?
I mean.
Just kidding.
Are you looking at me?
I wasn't. I was looking at Evan, and now I feel horrible.
All right, I count Big Mac and I count Tiki. So, yeah, it's true. You should be offended. Why didn't they send it to you?
Because she likes Sean more now.
How about that?
You surpassed. That's unbelievable.
And I've run many, many marathons with her.
I drank beers with them, though.
Oh, see.
I mean, that is true.
I think I did, too, actually.
Though. All right, whatever.
I can't remember. I'm just kidding.
Now, as far as the Yankees are concerned, they are playing the Tigers tonight. Gerrit Cole's on the mound. We touched on Gerrit earlier, how that opt-out that we all assumed he wouldn't be a big deal. All of a sudden, Gerrit Cole may not necessarily opt out. And if he does, are the Yankees necessarily going to give him the 5 years, 180 remaining on the deal? Either way, he's on the mound tonight. Here's your New York Yankee lineup. Gleyber Torres leading off at second base.
Oh, interesting. Wow, okay.
By the way, the pitcher for the Tigers is Bo Brisky. I'm not that familiar with him.
He sounds like a softball pitcher.
Or fake back in the day in the video games where you couldn't use real names.
That's what I said about the, I think it was the White Sox starter the other night, too. Glaber's leading off. He's a righty, by the way.
Okay.
Gleyber, Soto, Judge, Giancarlo Verdugo, Volpe Trevino, DJ LeMahieu, and Oswald Peraza getting the start at third base.
What happened to Austin Wells is going to play every day when Trevino comes back? He's back and right away in the lineup?
Well, think about it this way.
It's because of Cole.
I mean, I don't even necessarily think it's because of Garrett Cole. You want to get him back. You want to see him out there.
Austin Wells has been so critical.
I know, but this, in fairness, Sean, this doesn't mean we're going to see a trend where they're sharing the catching duty. I think we'd all agree that Austin Wells should start, let's say, 75% of the time.
More.
He can't. He's a catcher, bro.
What do you mean? He's been doing it while Trevino's gone.
I understand.
Once a week, Narvaez has played.
Well, that's
not 75%.
Yes, it is.
That's six games a week.
What's 5 out of 6, Tiki, percentage-wise? Because figure you most weeks you get an off day.
That's over 80.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's basically the same number.
No, you're making up math.
Yeah, I'm making up math. My bottom line is this. Austin Wells is the true starting catcher for this team, but once a week he's just not going to play. That's just the way it is.
Well, I hope this is the once.
Yeah, I'm glad Oswald Peraza's in the lineup.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think this is a great opportunity for him. Either way, we'll get back to the Yankees in a second. We'll mix in some of your calls at 888-808-1019. But it is a little after 5 o'clock, and you know what that means? Well, I'll just tell you what it means.
It's Cinco de Five-O.
It's Cinco de Five-O.
Cinco de Five-O with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
By the way, real quick, I do want to say that Yankee lineup we presented to you is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it.
And Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right, we've had a great audience come out here at Fanatics Fest NYC. I love seeing all the fans, meeting all the fans. But those of you in the car, maybe you're taking the dog for the walk, listening, anything right now, if you're thinking about coming out here, and oh, by the way, bad weather on Sunday, it looks like.
Oh,
really? There's bad weather on
Sunday?
Looks
like a little rain, yeah.
But that's a good thing for Fanatics Fest.
It's a good thing for Fanatics Fest. The point is, if you're looking for something to do, I'm going to give you the 5 best things I've seen to do here at Fanatics Fest.
Nice.
Number 5.
Here we go.
By the way, Tiki knows everybody. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like the mayor. I love it.
I know. Well, speaking of Tiki,
why we get along so well? Because I'm like a hermit, and you're Tiki. It's great.
Tiki. It's New York.
I know.
I lived in New York. I know New Yorkers.
I understand.
Tiki comes in at number 5. You can buy a Tiki Barber throwback jersey. Yes, the Fanatics shop back there, there was 2 notable things. I went back there looking. Maybe I can get a Dexter Lawrence 100-year anniversary jersey. They are selling... and a good allotment of 2 Giants jerseys, an Eli and a Tiki.
Ah, wow. That's some respect right there.
So plenty of Tiki Barber jerseys for sale.
And I am curious, how much does it cost to get a Tiki Barber autograph here at our WFAN setup?
Well, I'll tell you. Nothing.
Best bargain on a Friday tonight.
We could be making bank here.
What a deal.
Unfortunately, only 47 minutes left to get that. All right, here we go.
Number 4.
A Sports Illustrated Museum. Did you guys walk through this?
We did.
So I am, growing up, I love Sports Illustrated. Many sports fans obviously did. All the traditional, the classic covers and everything all blown up. It was a really cool walkthrough. I thought
Very
that was
cool.
Really cool to see.
Yeah,
and again, free with the ticket.
Well, a lot of those are, it's art. Right?
Yeah,
and so
it is art.
The
right.
way that they presented it, it feels like you're walking through a museum, like an art museum.
Well, here's what's so cool about this. I'm not an autograph guy. I'm not a collector. And yet this place has so much for me because of the museums and the things that you see. And I don't want to steal anything on your Cinco. I haven't seen it. But there's wrestling paraphernalia.
Yeah.
There's Andre the Giant boots. There's... the trousers, if that's the right word, that Razor Ramon wore the night the 1-2-3 kid upset the world across the street at the Manhattan Center. Like, that is, it's like a museum. So even if you're not an autograph person or a collector's person, we spent hours here already, like, distracted with other things.
By the way, 60% of the people, maybe like 80% of the people were like, what the hell are you talking about, Evan?
What do you mean?
The trouser thing?
Well,
they upset the...
How do you want me to phrase?
Nobody knows what that event was.
Trousers?
Yeah, the event.
Event. Yeah. Everybody knows what the event was, Tiki.
By the way,
it was Monday Night Raw. It's when Razor Ramon got upset by the 1-2-3 kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody knows.
I watch it on replay.
We all do.
Okay.
If you have Peacock, you've been watching it a lot.
Number 3.
Number 3 is do your own WWE entrance. I've seen a million Cody Rhodes. We've talked about it throughout. Oh. I'm not the biggest wrestling guy. But there is a chill and a pop in the air when you see Doug from Syosset come down, and he's Roman Reigns.
You know what's amazing? Right now, I'm glancing over, and for the first time, I am seeing the Titantron of Hulk Hogan.
which is the guy I grew up with.
So that means it's an older person.
It means it's not a kid. It means it's an older person.
That is not a kid.
Or a diehard Republican.
I was going to say, yes.
Yes. Going to go out on a limb and say that's not a Kamala Trump-a-mania.
I saw him make a speech the other day. He was amazing. Anyhow, go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
The NHL has a great setup right next to us, and you can shoot hockey pucks into a washer and dryer for accuracy.
Yes.
I'm not sure what the sponsorship tie-in, but I saw a bunch of clanks off a washer and dryer. I thought that was cool.
Very, very cool. That's also right next to us as well. These big kind of ice that's set up, and you can shoot. Very, very cool. I'm curious what number one is.
Here we go.
Number one.
And the number one thing is obvious. It's the WFAN setup.
Oh,
that's what
you're going
to say. There are QR codes to buy your WFAN gear. Plenty of great T-shirts, hoodies. You can see Joe B do a show with Sal tomorrow. We have trading cards available. You have Keith McPherson here on Sunday at us today. Now, the problem is the downfall. You mentioned Andre the Giant's boots. I think that we did drop the ball here. I would like a Mike Francesa used Diet Coke can around here. An old Steve Summers empty carton of cigarettes, I think, would be great. I think some of that paraphernalia from WFA in years past would have really solidified this.
I think,
but this is still number one. Come check out the
replica Boomer MVP trophy.
Right?
Maybe.
That would be great.
That's a great point. Some of the more Coney's this radio station as well.
Yeah.
I think we, maybe for next year, because I have a feeling the Fanatics Fest is going to become like a yearly thing. I have a feeling this is going to become a yearly event. Yeah,
it's pretty successful.
I know when Tiki's in Europe next year.
When the Fanatics Fest is taking
next
place.
Year we'll do it from the 40-40 Club.
Yeah, we'll hang out with Jay-Z.
Jay-Z is literally up there.
Yeah, Jay-Z's up there. Yeah.
I think that next year we have to bring some historical WFAN figures. That's a really good idea, but it is a very, very cool thing. I agree. Good job, Sean.
Right,
appreciate the signal.
Kiss my Fanatics!
All right, one other piece of Yankee news, and then an interesting development in the New York Met lineup. What's the news around Jazz Chisholm, Sean?
Okay, so Yankee fans very worried about Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm says he thinks he could start swinging a bat in a day or two.
Wow.
And at least in his mind, it's 100% realistic he could be back at the end of the 10 days that he's on the IL.
Well, I'll tell you, Jazz...
That's a
World Series back on, baby!
Jazz so far has done everything to become a cult hero. He comes over here, hits right away. He immediately says, third base, no problem. I'll play third base. And now this. Jazz Chisholm is like hitting every note so far as a member of the New York Yankees. So that's great news. He adds a different dimension to this lineup. Hopefully he's back when the IL stint ends. But I look at it this way. It's a great opportunity for Oswald Peraza. Now, he's a top prospect for a reason, was a top prospect for a reason. So this is a great opportunity for him over the next week or so, and I hope he gets the playing time. He's getting it tonight to prove he's a Major League Baseball player.
It's still an imperfect opportunity, though, because you know what's happening as soon as Jazz is healthy.
And if you don't trust that Jazz will really be back, the Yankees should act, because an old fella, Gio Urshela, has been DFA'd by the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Gio Urshela's available. All right. Interesting. Now, as far as the Met lineup is concerned, I've got good news and bad news for the many Met fans out there who have strong opinions on the lineup. If you are like me, I present to you good news that Brandon Nimmo is not batting second tonight. Mark Vientos is. Something I suggested to Tiki.
And by the way, he batted second yesterday.
He did. So he's doing it back-to-back days. He obviously had two home runs. Did you think of me when Mark Vientos batted second?
I did, and I wanted to opine to you, but you were not in studio next to me. So
that's because I was sick. And I don't think
anybody recognized it or appreciated it like I did. Because you said it to me. Yeah. I think Mark Vientos should bat second. He was batting second and raked yesterday.
Well, what's funny is the origin of the story is actually Tiki was being a jerk. So what happened was, I was complaining about Brandon Nimmo batting second, and Tiki had this look in his eye like, all right, big mouth. If he's not batting second, who should? Like, he thought he had me, because a lot of people have opinions, and then they don't have, like, the follow-up. And I looked at him and said, Mark Vientos. I didn't even skip a beat.
Yeah, you did.
That would be my guy. And so it started with you being a jerk.
It did. Was that after 4?
After 4 what?
P.M.
It was a few days ago. I'm not sure what time it was.
I'm just wondering if they actually saw it.
Well, it was a day earlier, so it wasn't the day of.
I know.
Oh.
But so you said it on Tuesday.
Yes.
And then on Thursday, he actually did it.
Well, Mendy's a big listener, so it's very, very possible. Mindy,
look at that. You influenced your favorite team.
Well, I influenced them to a degree because the good news is Mark Vientos is batting second.
He is.
Brandon Nimmo is not batting second. The bad news is Brandon Nimmo's batting third. Mm. So it didn't move to where Nimmo should probably be hitting right now, considering his struggles. Like right now, I would drop him towards the bottom of the order. And it's not a permanent banishment. It's more, hey, you're hitting 130 since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll take a little pressure off you. We'll put you towards the bottom of the order.
Yeah, we don't need you getting those extra at-bats.
Well, he's still getting it because he's batting third.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Your suggestion, move him down.
Yeah. So they didn't fully go with it. So when the Mets take on the Marlins, that in a very, very important game, Lindor, Vientos, Nimmo, J.D. Martinez, Pete Alonso, Jesse Winker in right field, Francisco Alvarez behind the plate, Jeff McNeil at second base, and Harrison Bader's batting ninth in center field with Sean Manaea on the mound tonight as the Mets take on the Miami Marlins in a game that they need if they want to somehow get the stench out from what happened yesterday. And I don't even mean who threw out the first pitch. Who cares? I mean blowing a five-run lead. What is so funny?
Nothing.
Okay.
I mean, they were in spitting distance the entire time, so I think it's a moral victory.
Don't understand what's happening right now, but the Mets blew a game yesterday to the Oakland Athletics, and they had a five-run lead, and they lost. They have a chance tonight to make non-believers like myself start to believe in this team again. Sweep the Miami Marlins. And positive, Tommy, I want you on the record.
Yes.
Anything short of a sweep is not acceptable.
The Mets will sweep the Marlins, and they will take two out of three from the fraudulent Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah!
And they will have a successful homestand, and they will be in a wild card position by next week.
Well, first of all,
because the Braves stink.
But what happens if they're not, and you're not here?
Then Evan will make a t-shirt.
I hope you're right. And you know what's crazy about everything he just said? It could happen.
It could happen, absolutely.
I mean,
it's just the nature of Major League Baseball this year. Anything can happen on any given week.
And look, one compliment we've given the Mets all year is when they have faced this adversity, they've responded. This is probably some of the strongest adversity they've had since the Jorge Lopez glove-throwing team-meeting incident. They lost two out of three at home, off the heels of getting swept by Seattle, off the heels of a 4-6 road trip. Like, they need to win these games. And here's the other thing. These are the last three games this year against the Marlins. They played the Marlins 10 times this year.
Yep.
They're 5-5. That is not acceptable. I'm sorry. Like, you've got to beat bad teams, and the Mets have done a horrible job beating the Miami Marlins. So, nothing short of a sweep. It ends your season series at 8-5. It gets the stench away from what's happened over the last few days. This is a must-sweep scenario for the New York Metropolitans. And if they don't sweep them, on Monday, we'll say they better sweep the Orioles. That's just the reality.
Or we'll say the season's over. I think that's going to be the Mets' reaction. The fans' reaction.
Death of the
be
season?
The death of the season.
Oh, no.
If they don't win against them. I know, it might not be true. I'm just saying that's going to be the reaction. I mean, it's the reaction right now, and you lost it to the A's. You're not out of it yet.
This is selfish. I am off for the better part of next week. I need to be there to see Evan's eyes. I need death of the season eyes in my own eyes.
Yeah, but you saw it like week three.
Do you have death of the season eyes in my eyes right now?
No.
No, but if they get swept by the Marlins.
But he already has them. That's what he's saying.
No, I don't have death of a season eyes. I don't think this team is good enough in my eyes. I have, wow,
so what
I've
is death of the season then?
Death of a season is when you know, well, we're freaking done. Like, it is dead. Like, dead, you know, like three
deads.
So
there's degrees of quitting on your team.
First of all, I never quit on my team. As long as I send them bills, I don't quit on my team.
Degrees of quitting on your team's playoff hopes.
Yeah, like calling it like it is.
All right, you're just parsing words. Same thing.
Parsing words. By the way, I got to get something off my chest.
Go ahead. Right?
It's very, very important, and we'll get your calls, 888-808-1019. The fact that the Nets are playing the Knicks in back-to-back games at Madison Square Garden, 2 days apart, is one of the stupidest things Adam Silver's ever done.
Evan is just upset because there are so many Knicks jerseys here today. So many Knicks jerseys right now.
That's irrelevant.
He even commented on this because all of you all who are coming up and taking pictures with me have Knicks jerseys.
Most of them are for you.
It doesn't matter. There's no Net jersey. I mean, Keith McPherson's around here somewhere, but there is no Net jersey.
Well, first of all, there are Net jerseys. They're just aren't a lot of them.
They're not coming over here.
They're selling them in the store behind us.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not coming over here.
But my opinion that I just laid out has nothing to do with Nets are bad, Knicks are great. It has to do with the fact that I think this is stupid. I want you to hear me out real quick.
All right.
So the NBA made a decision a few years ago. It was after COVID. Hey, there's a Nets jersey right there. It's a New York Nets jersey, so apologize.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
that guy's wearing a Julius Irving New York Nets
jersey.
Okay,
that's a legend.
That doesn't count.
Of course it counts. It does not count.
So when a Knicks fan wears a Patrick Ewing jersey, that doesn't count.
Yeah, it counts.
Why does that count, but Julius doesn't?
Because he's surrounded by all the Brunsons and the Josh Harts and everybody else.
What the hell does that mean? That guy's wearing an Irving jersey.
He's a lone Irving.
Is he wearing a Nets jersey?
No, he's wearing a Julius Irving jersey.
No,
he's not wearing a Nets. If he wore a Keith Van Horn jersey, perhaps we would give him props.
You guys are
you Clarkson or somebody.
Julius Irving's an all-time great basketball player, not a Net. Nobody thinks of him as a Net.
We in New York and those from Long Island think of him as Nets. Like, what? That's the most offensive thing you guys have ever said.
If it was Cooper Flagg, then maybe I'd be excited for you.
Don't do that.
It's not.
Too early for that. Don't be doing that to me.
Too soon?
My point is this. The NBA came up with this idea with new scheduling. Like, I'll give you an example. Instead of making the Knicks fly to Chicago twice in different parts of the year, if they're in Chicago, play them two times in 3 days. It's great for travel. It's great for maintenance days, right, to eliminate maintenance
because
days.
You have an off day in between.
So I think it makes complete sense.
Of course.
With teams in your own conference where you go to that city twice, save on travel, great for the players, okay? We're all in agreement. It's fantastic. The Knicks and the Nets play in the same city. There's no saving on travel. You're playing two games at Madison Square Garden within 3 days. It is the single dumbest thing the NBA's ever done, and I'm deeply offended by it.
I'm going to defend the NBA, and I'm going to give you what I think is the reason why.
Go ahead.
So the NBA is doing exactly what you're saying. They have programmed algorithmically to have that happen. If you're in the city, you got to play them twice. Just put them back together. Throw a off day in between. The NFL does the same thing. You've heard about this, right? There's hundreds of thousands of iterations of schedules, and eventually they get it right. And Commissioner Goodell says that's what it is.
Okay.
The NBA can't differentiate the teams and what cities they're playing.
Oh my God!
They can't I'm telling you, they can't program that in.
Delete the program.
It's not. It's just. It's. It would be too nuanced to program in that one exception. Like that one little else tag. It's too complicated.
It's too complicated.
It would screw everything else up.
Well, let me uncomplicate that.
And so the algorithm does it naturally, and they accept it.
Let me uncomplicate
that. That's what happened. I'm just telling you, it's not the NBA. It's whatever computer put together the schedule.
Part of why I'm a Knicks season ticket holder is that I want to watch my basketball team, the Brooklyn Nets. I don't care how bad they are.
Get their asses kicked.
That's fine. Tiki, that's fine. I'm a Net fan. I'm a fan whether they're good or they're bad.
Right.
I want to see my team play, even at Madison Square Garden. There's no chance in hell I'm going to that building twice in 3 days to watch my ass get kicked.
Why?
The second game is gone. I'm going to give them away.
You're a Knicks season ticket holder.
Yeah, that's too many times.
What if you win?
If we win?
If you win the first one.
If we win the Friday night game?
Yeah, what happens?
I'm back there Sunday.
So there you go.
Football Sunday my ass.
So stop being a loser and think positively. Positive Tommy's already saying, you know, hey.
It's easy for Positive Tommy to be positive about the Knicks over the Nets. Oh, man.
They haven't even put on their jock straps yet, and you're already saying they're losing two to the Knicks?
They're losing all four to the Knicks. Actually,
I'm talking about this specifically, kid.
I take that back. The Nets will beat the Knicks. They're actually playing each other the final regular season game of the year at Barclays Center. And I think the Nets will keep the Knicks out of the 60, they're going to end up in the play-in tournament because of the Brooklyn Nets.
You want good news, Evan?
That's a prediction. Write that one down. Play-in tournament, you losers.
There's good news for Evan.
Go ahead.
The Nets could lose all four games to the Knicks in the regular season, and you could still come in the moment that season's over and call them the uncrowned champions of the regular season.
If they beat the Knicks.
Yeah. Well, no, they don't even have to. You could lose games.
That's true.
According to Positive Tommy.
Are the Knicks playing the Nets the final day of the season?
Final day of the season.
Okay, so that's
Sunday, April 13th, 1 o'clock at Barclays Center. What up?
You love to do this, so I'll put it on you. If the Knicks win that game, they're the one seed. If the Nets lose, they have the best shot of getting the number one pick. I understand it's a lottery.
I want to win. I don't give a damn about the lottery. You're going to hear about this whenever you bring it up.
You'll put that over the Knicks. Beating the Knicks and not letting them get the win.
There's no guarantee I'm getting Cooper Flagg, so no. I want to beat the Knicks. I want to beat the Knicks four times in a row. I don't give a damn about lottery odds. It's overrated. Yes, I'd like the number one overall pick. I just don't think the lottery odds matter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Live from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City, it's Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
We are live from the Fanatics Fest until the Yankee pregame show coming up at about 6 o'clock tonight. The Yankees and the Detroit Tigers opening up a three-game weekend series. We also got preseason football over the weekend. Now, the New York Jets are already getting into fistfights with the Carolina Panthers, but isn't that like sort of normal with these joints?
It's par for the course.
Yeah.
It used to be a story, and now it's not anymore.
It's not.
Everybody fights. They get tired of hitting the same people.
I understand. So. I care about one thing, and maybe it's my age. Maybe it's what's happened in the preseason. Maybe it's just where I am in the world. All I care about with this preseason, when the Jets play on Saturday and the Giants play on Saturday, is nobody get hurt.
Yep.
That's it. That's the only thing that matters. You could tell me about this guy looks good, that guy looks good. Like, yes, it's nice to hear Braylon Allen looks amazing, of course. But at the end of the day, just get out of there alive and healthy. Now, Daniel Jones is playing. So are you looking for anything, both of you guys, from DJ or not really?
Comfort in the pocket. That's all I care about, that he's comfortable with people flying around his body. Because, I mean, I've known too many people that tore their ACLs. Some of them come back, and they just never feel comfortable again. Mm. And so as long as he feels comfortable with people around his legs, then I think I'll be okay with it.
I need a shot down the field. I don't even care if it's completed or not.
A target to Malik Nabers would be nice.
Yeah, I just want to know that Daniel Jones, the moment the lights come on and the offensive line is in front of him, is willing to just throw the ball downfield, if complete or not.
Now, about an hour ago, and you can rewind on the Odyssey app, you would hear a debate that took place between Tommy Lugar and Sean Morash concerning who should be the starting quarterback of the New York Giants. Sean was big. It's DJ. Come on, you idiot. Tommy was big. Tommy DeVito. I asked Tommy, since you're very reactionary sometimes, if Daniel Jones balls out for the two drives he's out there. I mean, he's throwing bombs down the field. He's looking like Michael Vick running the ball. Like, it is the most incredible preseason drive, couple of drives you've ever seen. Would you say, huh, all right, I was wrong about that Tommy DeVito thing. Let's go, DJ. Let's go. Week one. Let's go, baby.
No. I will continue to bang the drum for Tommy DeVito no matter what because of the points I laid out for an hour ago in the Lugas debate series. I think they all hold no matter what Daniel Jones does in a preseason game. Everything I've said, will say about Tommy DeVito holds up.
I'm starting to get the impression that once you have an opinion, like, that's it.
Can
like,
I just say...
He's got to stick with it.
Can I just say something?
And then when it happens, because whatever, Daniel Jones gets hurt or he's ineffective or whatever, he can say, I told you! I've been saying this for 6 months!
You're right about that, but can I just say this?
Yes.
I had that take, whatever, when on social media. People want me fired for that take. This is what I would ask those people that want me fired for that. Do you really believe in Daniel Jones? Because maybe I missed something here. Everybody turned their back on Daniel Jones. All he did was suggest Tommy DeVito to start over, and everybody lost their mind.
So, a year ago...
And I have a theory on why that is the case.
Well, I'm going to tell you what changed for me. Because a year ago, I was pretty excited about Tommy DeVito.
Yep.
I was very big with Tiki. Like, hey, what can he do to prove he's the guy and all that? Once they pulled him for Tyrod Taylor, once they made that decision, I said it on the air to Tiki. I'll say it again today. They were done with him. They don't believe in him.
Or at least put him on a heavy pause.
A major pause.
And so,
not enough to come back now and start. So a guy like me, who probably would have been on your side back in November, that to me changed everything.
Yeah, he would have had to significantly outperform Daniel Jones in the preseason. And the problem is he just didn't. Daniel Jones is pretty good in the preseason. In fact, looks like he has a great connection with Malik Nabers already. All the training camp passes that we've seen, it feels like they already have this tie together. Whereas all the other quarterbacks don't.
Right.
Because Tommy DeVito had a lot of deep shots in that first preseason. I think there were five of them. I don't think he completed one of them, except for to
Eric Gray coming out of the backfield. All the other ones were, the timing was off.
Yeah.
And so that's probably a function of not getting the work, but whatever the reason, he hasn't outplayed Daniel Jones.
No,
there's
you're
no
right.
way you could justify and, even thinking about starting him.
And again, Daniel Jones, in his career, his best receiver he's ever had has been Golden Tate.
Right.
He's never gotten the opportunity to do this with a guy like Malik
Right.
Hitch. But Tommy DeVito won, what, 3 games last year with a bad offensive line, with no wide receivers, with a defense that's not this good. Why are you – my thing is this. They're swimming, what, against the stream? The fans want it. We saw potential there, and they're going back to Daniel
Do the
Jones
fans want it if they want you fired for offering
no,
an opinion?
I think those people, if you want my honest opinion, I think the majority of the fans like Tommy DeVito. I think there's a couple people that are jealous and think the family – they think the family's pigs, and they don't like Big Tom. I love Big Tom.
No.
And they don't like people that – weren't the number one pick and sort of capitalized on it, like the hot tour girl. There's jealous people out there, Evan. I'm serious. I think there are people that are jealous of his success overnight. People don't like that.
Time out. I want to stop the show to address a kid over there.
Oh.
Who's wearing a Cameron Boucher Thomas jersey.
You've made a terrible decision in life.
No, don't talk to
me. I mean, come on. The Knicks are back.
Come on over. You want to take a picture? You come on. You can do whatever the heck you want.
Terrible decision. Yeah. Let's go next.
You want to do the rest of the show?
You look good. You look good in the Nets jersey.
Ah.
Thank you, Tiki. What's your name,
I stand corrected.
I'm never going to be able to hear his name. What's your name? Rod? Rod? I have no... I'm
Russ?
Sorry.
I think Russ?
I apologize, but
Josh.
Either way...
Josh!
Are you guys deaf?
No, it is hard to hear.
I can't hear
anything. My ears are ringing.
Josh, great jersey. Hope you're having a good time. Thank you, man.
Give it up for Josh.
Let's give it up for Josh. We're in a camp.
By the way, Josh will see a parade before Lugie does.
This is where it's gotten for me as a Net fan, that I find the one kid wearing a jersey. Stop everything we're doing. Meanwhile, I've seen 312 Nick jerseys.
But the best part was, that wasn't just jersey. He went Nets shorts, too.
Nah, he was into
full
it.
Full uniform. He was into it.
Look, here's the reality.
He can't help it. He lives right next to the arena.
That doesn't matter. Trust me. That's a kid who gets it. And Cam Thomas... I'll say it now. I'm gonna try a loogie right now. I'm gonna be hot take Tommy. You ready?
Okay.
Cam Thomas, best basketball player in New York City. What up? What up? Yeah. Oh, boo. Yeah, boo this. Whatever.
Really?
Really? Do I really believe that? Sure. Let's go.
Second best.
Let's go to Bruce in Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce?
Hey guys, thanks for putting me on. Listen, no offense to Tommy, but there's one very good reason why it's not happening. And that's because Brian Daboll would look like a total moron if he put Tommy DeVito in week one. People would think he was pandering to a certain segment of the audience who he's probably going to be sitting with next year if he put Tommy DeVito in.
I mean, you're right, not wrong, now, but if he, the only way he could justify it is if he actually was playing so great that he could not ignore it.
Well, if he believed it. I mean, Brian Daboll...
he just doesn't.
Brian Daboll has earned a lot, even in the limited time he's been here, but certainly what he did in Buffalo, too, I will include that. Brian Daboll knows a thing or two about quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I think most of us, even if you're questioning Brian Daboll as a head coach, certainly look at him and say, I trust him on QBs.
Definitely.
He probably doesn't see that in Tommy DeVito, which is why he benched him last year for Tyrod Taylor.
So then say it. I need Brian Daboll.
You don't say that about a player.
Why not?
Was he going to say stinks?
Yeah, then say it.
Nah, you don't.
No, because then I think it's another reason.
About Tommy?
Then why did they bench him? I think it's because of the fame he was getting, the momentum he was getting, and they still felt like, God, we got to go back to Daniel Jones, who, again, I'll say this, nothing against the guy. He's got no personality. He's not relatable, and the fans don't want to see him.
Who cares if he's relatable or not? What is this?
If Tommy, you know, let me ask you this. If Tommy DeVito ends up being a good quarterback, he will be the biggest, is Jalen Brunson listening? He will be the biggest star in this city.
Yeah, why is that relevant to Brian Daboll making the decision on if he should be
Why was Tommy DeVito benched last year for Tyrod Taylor? It made no sense. Evan, you know if the Jets did that, you'd be irate.
Because he was taking too many sacks. He didn't know how to get rid of the ball.
And that's a football reason.
And the football reasons are obvious.
And Tommy, the one thing I will dispute you on is when they benched Tommy DeVito, I was angry about it. Like, I even said it to Tiki. We argued about it. And I forget what my points were. It was a long time ago. But I remember saying as a football fan, because I was an IFO in that regard, I need to see more. I like Tyrod Taylor, but I already know what he is. Like, I already know what he is.
Yeah.
Solid player, by the way. I love him as the backup for Aaron Rodgers, but I already know it. And with a young player, and I felt the same way about Mike White. I was the same thing about Mike White. Let me see it through to see more of what he's got.
The difference with Dave's last year is that he made a decision based on who was going to help him win games.
Right.
Robert Saleh didn't do that in the Mike White situation two seasons ago. Because Mike White probably gave you the better chance to win those football games. He didn't take it as the Jets didn't take it as objective, forget draft status, forget any of that stuff. Who can help me win the game most? Because winning is the most important thing for a young head coach who hasn't had success yet.
And unfortunately, what also happened with Mike White is he couldn't stay healthy. That was the other problem.
True.
Now, real quick, I want to play
but
this.
I mean, they tried to throw him back in there.
They did. None. Guess what? He got hurt again. Right. That was the biggest problem. I want to play this game with Sean as a Yankee fan, and every Yankee fan should play this game at home. It's going to be called the evolution of a playoff rotation. Because right now, on August 15th, I think we all kind of know the Yankees are making the playoffs. The question is it the division? Is it the wild card? Is it a wild card series? Is it a divisional series? But they're clearly going to be a playoff team. Right now, we all agree Gerrit Cole's the ace, right? No question about that?
Can't argue.
All right. Your game one starter is Gerrit Cole, no questions asked. Right now, game two starter for the New York Yankees is who?
Luis Hill.
Luis Hill. I think that's a fact. I think most of us agree with that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Luis Hill. Okay.
Unless Clark Schmidt comes back and is great.
Well, that's the caveat. Well, I really.
But I'm going to say Hill.
Right.
I mean, well, first of all, I want to kind of counter the whole Clark Schmidt thing. When is Clark Schmidt going to come back?
Don't know.
Okay.
So it's got to be relatively soon.
Well, he started throwing.
So, but he's got to get four or five starts.
Yeah.
So he can't just come back and say, you're the number two starter.
Let's do mathematics here. He will at most make how many starts at the major league level?
Well, let's say 40 is for seven.
I was going to
say. It's going to be less than
it's probably six.
I was going to say like three.
Okay. I think we're closer to three than seven, but we'll see. Are you really
It's really seven
see...
that he's available to be able to make.
Fair enough. Are you really going to see enough of Clark Schmidt in those limited amount of starts
to
say that's my game
He goes
two
six,
starter?
Six innings each and gives up two or less runs and he's phenomenal?
Three starts can be enough. I think the question is not number two. It would be the next question because...
Well, that was what I was going to get to, and I know Clark's a part of all of this.
Yeah.
Right now, it's Cole and Hill. We all feel good about it.
Yes.
For now. You never know. I mean, Luis Hill puts together a couple of bad starts. That may change. The game three starter for the New York Yankees is who?
If Clark Schmidt's three starts or what we saw earlier,
oh my God!
To
get Clark Schmidt,
no.
on the IL,
no, because you can't forget it because he is coming back. Now it factors in. Do you trust Clark Schmidt based on everything you saw, or do you trust Stroman, Rodon, or Nestor Cortez? I trust Clark Schmidt.
But Clark Schmidt for now is a hypothetical.
So, because he's not available.
All right, so we're pretending Clark Schmidt's not
Rodon.
Coming back. It's Rodon.
Rodon.
Well,
yeah.
Over Marcus Stroman.
I can't. The slide has happened for Stroman. I tried to ignore it, and it's real.
So, Carlos Rodon has pitched a lot better.
Yeah.
I will be the first to admit it. And he'll pitch again this weekend. I think tomorrow he's back on the bump, as they say. I have so little trust in Carlos Rodon in a big spot. And I so believe the lights of October would be a problem.
Yeah.
But I actually still lean towards Marcus Stroman, despite his secondary struggles. I do. And I'll tell you why. No debating Rodon's been better recently.
Yeah.
Not arguing that. How can I argue with that? At the end of the day, if I'm starting a Game 3 of the American League Divisional Series, or dare I say a winner-take-all Game 3 in a wild-card series, ask yourself this. Do you really trust Carlos Rodon?
It's not. No.
That's the wrong question.
No, I don't. I don't trust any of them.
So you don't trust
them?
Yeah, but you also don't trust Stroman either.
That's my point. I don't trust any of them, so
I trust him more than I trust Rodon.
I don't. I don't know how you could say that.
Just based on the fact that I don't think. Here's why. I mean, say this, then you guys can kill me. I don't think Marcus Stroman is struggling because he can't handle the bright lights.
Yeah.
I think Marcus Stroman is struggling because maybe the workload of the first half, maybe it's just a mechanical thing.
But this is back-to-back years like this for him.
I understand that. I totally get
that. I'm just trying to find the last, blow-up game for Rodon, and I don't really see it.
The stretch was rough, but the bottom line is this. If you
I'm just saying, working backwards from now,
there hasn't been a
blow-up game.
There hasn't been.
He pitched two innings.
The Friday night Braves game I was at was killer.
Maybe in Baltimore. We only got through four. He only gave up two runs. So I can't find the blow-up game. You go look at Stroman's, it's pretty bad.
But at their best, and even if you don't trust Rodon or Stroman, I'm going to buy a lottery ticket that at their best, the best of Rodon is better than the best of Stroman. So that to me is the tiebreak above anything else.
So and the reason I bring this up is because I think this is an interesting exercise over the next few weeks and months before we get to the postseason. The evolution of your confidence in a playoff rotation. The one thing I'm confident will remain the same is Gerrit Cole. Like, even if Gerrit Cole struggles, we're all going to say he's the game one starter, of course. But everything else, as they say in the wrestling business, card subject to change.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that card may change based on ups and downs of the final 6 weeks of this baseball season. They watch this Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on CBS television. The Big Three Championship Weekend tips off from Boston's TD Garden. Watch Gary Payton's Bivouac and Michael Cooper's Three's Company battle it out for the Dr. J Championship Trophy. Dr. J, famous New York Net, by the way. That's this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on CBS television. Ice Cube's Big Three Basketball Championship. It's from Boston's TD Garden. Watch all the action live this Sunday, 3 o'clock on CBS television. And on X all around the world, Big Three Basketball, the sports extravaganza like no other. Thank you to Steve Apria.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you to Ryan Hurley. Man. And everyone else from WF Fans. A lot of people. Jess Clark did an amazing job.
Thank you, Jess.
I have to leave names out or else I'm going to forget some.
I'll say
thanks
hello
to all of you. Tiki and I are back Monday at 2 o'clock. Thank you to Fanatics. Yankee baseball's next. You want to go to the Met game still, Jet? He says yes, so we're leaving. Goodbye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.